Little Nuggets, West Monroe, Louisiana presents Strength for Today. And now with our message, missionary evangelist Huey Diffie.
Open in your Bible, please, to 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John, the 5th chapter. And I want to speak on how may I know that I am saved? How may I know that I'm saved? If I tell you that I'm saved, you could ask the question, how do you know that you're saved? There should be some evidence someplace that I'm saved, that I know that I'm saved, or why I know that I am saved. And that's what we want to look at that tonight. So we turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter, reading verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, without you, without the Holy Spirit teaching the Word, applying it to our hearts and lives, this would be just an empty service. But Father, you are here, and we make ourselves available for you to reveal your Word to us. And we ask you to help give us understanding, and that we can submit to your Word. Now, Father, should there be someone having any problems in their Christian life in this area, please clear it up tonight and give them that precious assurance that they're saved. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Doubting one's salvation is not uncommon among Christians. You know, good Christian people, even diligent servants of the Lord, doubt. Doubt comes into the mind. Jesus said of John the Baptist, this is in Matthew 11:11, he said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Jesus said, of all the men born in the whole world, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. So he is talking about someone he considered a great Christian. Now, in Matthew the 11th chapter, verses 2 and 3, we find John doubting. John was arrested and put in prison. He is in the prison. But down in the prison, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, that's Matthew the 11th chapter, verses 2 and 3. John sent two of his disciples and said unto him, said to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Now here is John the Baptist that looked those Pharisees in the eyes. And when they came wanting to be baptized of him, he said, "Listen, you bring some proof that you repented before I baptized you." Listen, this man had boldness. He had courage. And it's a boldness of the Lord, just not brazenness from the human spirit of man, but the boldness of God. And he took a stand, but now he is in prison and he is doubting. You see, a good man can do a bad thing. And there are a saved person may not understand some things, so they doubt. Some people do not believe a person can know they're saved. There are a lot of people don't think you can know. You got to wait till you get way up there, stand that long line, your time to come. Well, it's not going to be that way at all. It's not going to be a long line. We're getting out of here by power greater than gravity and go up. But some people do not believe a person can know they're saved. But God says we can know. Now, we'll just take God's word for it tonight. 1 John 5:13, right in our text. He said, these things have I written unto you. Well, we could say that's the whole Bible, but it's especially the book of 1 John. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, let me ask you tonight, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you committed your soul to Jesus for salvation? If so, then this is written to you and to me, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This verse tells us a lot, because it is saying you can know because you're believing, you're trusting Jesus, and it's a faith in him that gives you the assurance of your salvation. Because we are looking away from ourselves, anything that we can do or pay or whatever, and we look to him who paid it all. Then some people believe it is possible to know that you're saved, but they're unsure they're saved. And these people need to be helped, not hurt. They need to be encouraged and not discouraged. And they do not need some preacher to come by and tell them how sinful they are by doubting the Lord. I spent quite a bit of time on the telephone with a dear lady, lived 20, 30 miles from here, because in her church, two different preachers came by, and if you didn't have this experience, and if you didn't do it this way, then you're not saved. Well, bless your heart, there's no way to do it in the Bible, you know. Did you know the Bible doesn't tell us how any of the disciples were saved? It does not give the experience that they had. It does say something about the woman at the well, but it doesn't say that she bowed her head and prayed a prayer. Doesn't say that, but we do know she got saved because of what she did. But this dear lady, she was an elderly lady and was saved when she was 13 years of age. And I just tried to when I learned what she had done when she was 13 years of age, she came to Christ. And I believe when a person in that heart yields to Christ, he saves that person. And I don't think being saved is a difficult thing, other than the difficult part is getting self out of the way so that a person will repent and trust Christ. And but this dear lady, finally she got some victory in her life, and she is deceased now. And I'm thankful that she could, in spite of what she had been told and so on, that she could trust the Lord Jesus Christ with her soul. Now, there are people who try to use the truth of eternal security as a license to sin. Now, you find that in Baptist churches, and I'm sure some others. But because we're secure, we can do anything in the world. Well, not to be misunderstood, but here's the way I say it. I can do anything I want to do. But my problem is doing those things I don't want to do. You see, what I want to do is come to church with you, and I want to read my Bible, and God speak to me, and I want to walk right and talk right, and I want to do right, and that's what I have a problem with, you know. And so do you. But you see, people use the truth of eternal security to live in sin or to practice sin. And that's foreign to the Word of God. Because when Jesus comes into the heart, you want to give up that old life. Now, you're still going to have some problems with it. It keeps surfacing, and I know that. But that's not what you want. Because we have to remember the same God that saves spanks. Look at 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, if a person, has done something wrong and does sin, you can pray for that person. And if I get caught up in something, I want you to pray for me. Okay. But there is a sin unto death. You say, what is that? Have I committed it? No. But what is a sin unto death? Well, it could be any sin. is not any particular sin. But if, as a Christian, if I decide I want to turn my back on God and live in the world, he's going to woo me to come back. He's going to call me and work with me to come back. But if I reject and I continue on my way and ignore him, then that can become a sin unto death. And he'll take me out. You see, I believe there are a lot of Christians in untimely graves because they didn't walk with God. I believe that. And there is a sin unto death. Some people say, well, if you kill somebody, that's a sin. No, that's not it. Because I think that Moses is in heaven. That's what I believe. He killed somebody. I believe that David is in heaven. Yep. He was guilty of murder, cold blood, had that man killed. There any other sin that you want to mention? You'll find that there are people who committed that who are now in heaven. But I'm going to tell you, when the Christian turns his back on God and begins to drift away, when a church turns away from God and goes after the world, it's just a matter of time. And listen, there are, we see in our text here the problems concerning assurance. And then we want to see some cause of doubts. A person does not know the date that they were saved. Now, I know when I was saved. I can tell you, you may have heard me say it, but a person can hear someone testify of the exact moment they were saved. And the person said, oh, I don't remember that. I know I must not be saved. I don't remember that. No, that didn't have anything to do with it. Not one thing. Now, you should know that there was a time back there when you and God did business, but that doesn't mean you remember the day, the hour, the moment, and so on. Then there are different experiences that cause people to doubt. You know, people act differently. Some people cry when they're saved. Other people laugh. Some shout. Some jump for joy. Some grunt. And some, like myself, don't do anything. You know, I fit well with the Indians up there for a long time. I had to learn kind of how to speak to Indians because they sit there like Indians and they don't say anything. And I didn't say anything much. I could sit there all night and not say anything. And as long as I was there, they could do that. When I left, they talked and laughed and so on. But people have different experiences. And your experience and my experience may be different than Zacchaeus or Paul's experience. They had two different experiences. The Bible does not tell us of the salvation experience of the apostles because God doesn't want us to think of experience, what kind of experience that I had. When a church was demolished, a fellow in that church, was saved in that church. Then they turned out, he went to the altar and got him a board. He said, it was right here, this board, where I was saved. And he took that board home with him. And when he got a little doubt, he'd get his board and look at it. Well, not all of us have a board, but all of us have a book. Amen? Right. And another cause of doubt are feelings. We cannot control feelings. If we could control feelings, we'd never have a headache. Yeah. Never would. You see, feelings come after salvation. They do not come before salvation. If there be feelings. Feelings are so different in each individual that it's impossible to say how a saved person should feel when they're saved. You can't do that. We don't need to do that. Martin Luther wrote, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. He said, my warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Just the word of God. And that's what we have tonight, the word of God. and we rest on that. Then another comes and no one dealt with me at the front of the church. Now, we believe in much explanation of the way of salvation at the front of the church. And I pray that in this church we can do that in the future, that we can just go over some things so that you have people that are ready to deal with people when they come forward, know how to explain to a person how to be saved and lead them to salvation. But a person can receive explanation and still not be saved, or a person may not receive any explanation and they will be saved, you see. It all depends on the heart. It is Christ in the heart that's saved. Simple, isn't it? A person is saved at the pivot point. That's what I believe. You say, well, that's not what I believe. Then you need to get somebody else up here, because I believe as soon as that heart yields, the very moment that it yields, that person is saved. Whether they be in a pew, walking to the front of the church, out of the church, wherever. But when that heart yields, the great transaction is done for time and eternity. Salvation is a heart matter. Let me give you this very familiar scripture, Romans 10, 8, 9. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of faith. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that good? Isn't that simple? That puts salvation in the reach of every person. And if we'll keep it there and keep it simple, listen, we won't doubt, because we know it's him. It's the heart. And we remember the time when we trusted him. Now, the heart is not speaking of the heart organ, the organ in the body, but it's speaking of the inmost being of a person. So just make sure you're giving your heart to the Lord. And then there are people who do not understand salvation. People believe they must work for it. You got to do something to have it. You just can't understand that God has provided it all and gives it to us as a gift. Until the Holy Spirit convicts a person of that, they will never believe that. They can't understand it. But we do not work for salvation, but once we are saved, salvation works the believer. There is a difference there. And we do not keep our salvation by works. We do not merit anything from God. Listen to Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Listen, the people in Galatia had been saved, but they are trying to work so they can really get something from God. And he said, well, are you so foolish? How were you saved? You began in the Spirit. You were born again, saved all by the Spirit of God. Now, are you now made perfect or complete by the flesh? Did you come to Christian maturity through the works of the flesh? No, it's the Holy Spirit bringing us along just as we were saved. You see, the devil will cause a person to doubt whose hope of salvation rests, number one, on experience, number two, feelings or works, because you always wonder, have I done enough? And personal goodness, are following some book written by some guru, self-appointed religious guru. You see, assurance comes through knowing the truth. And that's the reason we major on the Word of God in this church. It's not your feelings, it's the Word. It's not my feelings, it's not my works, it's the Word of God. Sometime people tell me, well, I know you're going to have a great reward in heaven. Now, when people say that, I kind of shudder on the inside, because they don't see it like I see it. I dread the day, you know, as I say in the one good Christian fellow that I know, we're talking about meeting God. He said, one word will explain it. He said, ashamed. And that's what I'll say, ashamed. But you see, assurance comes through knowing the truth. I did not merit anything from God because of what I do. I'm doing what I do because He called me to do it. And He called you to do what you're doing. And what you're doing is, in His sight, just as important as what I'm doing. And the heart of it all is what makes the difference there. Some people do not understand the forgiveness of sin. I believe when we are saved, all of our past sins are forgiven. I believe all of our present sins are forgiven. I believe all of our future sins are forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid for all future sins, did He not? He paid for them all. Now listen, I want to give a verse. Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Listen, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Now that's past sins. They are forgiven. That's in the past. And whose sins are covered. That's present. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's future. He will not impute sin. Sin means put to the account of. And God will not charge sin to your account when you've been saved, born again. Jesus paid for that on the cross of Calvary. You see, you think of it like this. If He did not pay for your future sins or my future sins, when will He pay for them? Because He will never die again. One time for all time. And He is the only one who could pay the penalty for our sins. Unless we went to hell forever. But He paid for it all. So it's past, present, and future. Remember, we are saved by relationship, not performance. Excuse me. A man went to his barber for a shave. He go frequently to the barber, to shave him. He went to the barber, and lo and behold, the barber's hand was all bandaged up, and he couldn't shave him. But the barber said, he said, listen, I have my daughter here, and she can shave you. My daughter Grace give you a good shave. Well, the man didn't know about some woman shaving him. Might be a man-hater, but... he agreed for the daughter Grace to shave him. So she did. Next morning he got up, looked in the mirror. His face just as slick as it could be. Next week, beard had not grown. Next month, 6 months later, no beard. I mean nothing. He went back to the barber. He said, listen. Your daughter Grace shaved me, and my beard hasn't grown since. He said, oh. He said, haven't you heard? Once shaved by Grace, always shaved. But anyway, however, the cause of doubt. The devil is the cause of doubts. He will whisper to a person. Now, he will bother you. You know, the devil tells lost people they're saved. If you don't believe it, go out in the community. I'm all right. I'm okay. But he tells saved people they're lost. And he'll tell people, he said, Jesus doesn't love you. And I hope you never had any problems with this. But the Bible says, God so loved the world. Now, what does it mean? That's not the physical world out there, the material world. God so loved this world of people, and the phrase is all-inclusive. It includes everyone. He loved us. And regardless of your sinfulness or your depravity, God loves you. Not because of you, but in spite of you. That was good news when I learned that. That God loved me and would save me in spite of me. He would do that for me because of who He is, not because of who I was. And God proved His love for us on the cross of Calvary. Listen, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atoning victim for our sins. Romans 5, 6, and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, the right time, appointed time, the predicted time, Christ died for, listen to it, the ungodly. That's the most wicked person in the world, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, he proved, he exhibited his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good? He died for us. Then the devil would tell you, he said, well, your past is still with you. You still think about those things. Yeah, that's the truth. You see, God forgets. You and I do not have that ability. There are some things I would like to forget. I can't forget. But he has forgotten. The past is still with you. I want to tell you what God did with your sins, past sins. Isaiah 38:17 says, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. They're gone. Why? They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're cast behind his back. You can't see behind your back. Okay? In Micah the 7th chapter, verse 19, says, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You can't see what's in the depths of the sea. I learned that sometime when the government has an excess of things, maybe vehicles, tanks, whatever, they just take it out into the ocean and dump it. But you can't see it because it's in the depths of the sea. And I'm thankful that God took my sins, cast them behind his back into the depths of the sea, and they're gone. They're gone forever. And then the devil will tell you, well, God wouldn't forgive that sin. You see, he promotes some sins in a person's mind that God won't forgive. And if a person has committed that sin, the devil always gets one they committed. Then they think, well, he didn't forgive me of that sin. He forgave me of these others, but not that one. Listen to Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated or separated from God and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. There were wicked works. But listen, he reconciled you. He brought you into a relationship with himself. And the wicked works that are in the mind will be put into deeds if we're not saved. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He took us, made us alive, eternal life, together with him. And then he will cause a person to question their sincerity. Were you really serious when you walked that aisle? Were you really serious when you prayed? Well, if you were sincere enough, excuse me, to walk the aisle, if you were sincere enough to pray, God is sincere enough to save you.
Right.
It's not how much, but it's who. If we can keep our eyes on him off of ourselves. Then there are the consequences of doubt. If we have doubts, we cannot have the fullness of joy. It doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. You see, the purpose for writing 1 John is really described in two words, joy and know. That we may have joy and that we may know. Doubts hinders our service for Jesus. Andrew met Jesus. The Bible says Andrew knew and went and told his brother Peter. Andrew knew. Philip knew and went and found his brother Nathanael. You see, we will never be sure for Christ until we are sure of Christ. Then we cannot successfully fight against sin until we have assurance of our salvation. because the devil will always gig you in that area. If there's an area of doubt in your mind, the devil will always come to that place. And that's the reason we're encouraged to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's number one. Then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then number three, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications of the saints. Now, if we do not have assurance, we will not have confidence in our Christian life or in the work of the Lord. And we'll not have confidence when He comes. 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now, the cure for doubts is the Word of God. That's the one thing that we have. The Apostle Paul did not depend on his Damascus Road experience for his salvation or the assurance of his salvation. He had a great experience, but he never depended on that for his salvation or assurance of his salvation. He said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him." He didn't say, "I know what I believe." He didn't say, "I know when I believe." He said, "I know whom I have believed." So that is important. So we must look away from self. We must look away from experiences to the resurrected, living, unchanging Christ, who has all power, paid the full, final, complete price of redemption. So assurance comes through knowing the truth, not through feelings. See, we'll not feel good every day, but we can know the truth every day. And I know some days, I'm sure you get up in the mornings, you rise up real early, and, you feel saved. Yeah, you feel so good. Feel like you're walking in heaven, you know. Do you? And then there are times when you get up early in the morning. A few hours later, you wake up. And you don't think you've ever been to the cross. You just don't feel like it. So it's not in feelings, see. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. And it's good to have past assurance of our salvation, but we need a present assurance of salvation. And if we don't have a present assurance, the devil will make us doubt. But the thing is, we have to come to the Word of God. Now, in the book of 1 John, there are five ways we can know that we are saved. And if you will come back maybe next week, we'll try again. But really, they are right there in the book of 1 John. And you can look in the book, in the Bible, you say, "That's true. That's true of me." Not how you feel, but is that true of you? And you can look at it and you say, "That's true. That's true." And that way you know that you're saved. Now, how do we not tell that we're saved? What makes us doubt? If we're trusting feelings, that will make us doubt every time. If you do not know the time or the date, then the devil will say, "I don't think you're saved. You don't even know the time." No, you don't have to know the time. But when were you born? Do you know when you were born? You don't know when you were born. Somebody told you when you were born. That's how you know your birthday. But the thing is, we want to trust the Word of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, about our salvation.
Gospel Nuggets offers a free Bible correspondence program. For more information, just write to Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292. That's Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292.